You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Tuesday, the 24th of September. Welcome to Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. I'm Sheetal. This is a podcast that brings you the top India and international stories. Let's begin with India business first.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
So, the Reserve Bank of India has placed curbs on the business of Mumbai-based Punjab and Maharashtra Cooperative Bank, or PMC Bank, for 6 months following the detection of alleged irregularities. PMC Bank had business of 20,000 crore rupees, comprising deposits of about 11,617 crores and advances to the tune of 8,383 crores at the end of March 2019. Now, RBI said that depositors would be allowed to withdraw a sum not exceeding 1,000 rupees of the total balance in every savings bank account or current account or any other deposit account. The bank could not grant or renew any loan, make advances and make investments without prior approval from the RBI, and directions would remain in force for 6 months from the close of business of the bank on September 23, 2019, according to the RBI in a statement. Now, a senior bank executive said that the RBI had, in the course of inspection, found some gaps in the treatment of loans. The bank was working to resolve the issue. He, however, declined to elaborate on the matter. Messages and calls made to PMC Bank Chief Executive Joy Thomas did not elicit any response. The multi-state cooperative bank had 3.76% gross non-performing assets, or NPAs, and net 2.1% of NPAs at the end of March 2019. It has 137 branches, including those in New Delhi. The Reserve Bank of India has expressed disagreement of SEBI's proposed framework enabling credit rating agencies to legally access borrower database, that's the RBI central repository of information on large credits, helping them in timely recognition of default. Sources said that the central bank had cited sensitivity and confidentiality issues for allowing third-party access to large credit data information. The RBI had also assured that it would ask lenders to improve the information sharing under the current mechanism of Credit Information Company, or CIC. Currently, the rating agencies can access the CIC, that is an independent third-party institution, collecting financial data regarding loans, credit cards, and more about individuals, and shares it with its members. Banks and non-banking financial institutions usually take data from CIC. SEBI argued that rating agencies cannot decide ratings based on the CIC, as it is not rapid, clean, and accurate. It also said that the CIC did not provide the updated data about the history of borrowers, repayment dues, and so on. The market regulator said that there was a substantial difference in the default data disclosed by rating agencies and the one available with the CRILC. Even the central bank has raised this concern over divergence in default rates identified by the CRAs and CRILC. On to take a look at some of the other headlines in the country today. Well, the Supreme Court has expressed concern over the origin and spread of fake messages on social media platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook, and given the center 3 weeks to make recommendations that protect, and we quote, the sovereignty of the state, privacy of an individual, and prevention of illegal activities, unquote. A two-judge bench headed by Justice Deepak Gupta said, and we quote, the originator of fake messages must be traced. At the same time, sovereignty of the nation and privacy of individuals should be maintained. Neither we nor a high court can decide. It is for the government to come up with a policy, unquote. Now, this observation comes 3 days after the same bench asked the government to explain if it was contemplating any move to link social media profiles to an individual's Aadhaar account. The court had made it clear that in the current instance, the issue is not about the linking of Aadhaar, but tracking down original senders of fake news and messages that have led to mob attacks and killings. Justice Gupta said, and we quote again, it is dangerous the way the technology is going. After the last hearing, I researched and found I could buy an AK-47 on the dark web in 30 minutes, unquote. The top court also said that there is enough scientific brain in this country, and if there is technology to encrypt, then there must be technology to decrypt as well. They also warned the center that a balance needs to be struck. Complex issues like privacy are involved, and so the government needs to step in and make the guidelines, the court observed, posting the matter for hearing next on the 22nd of October. In the middle of its two-month Chandrayaan-2 campaign, the Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, last month quietly initiated Project Netra, an early warning system in space to detect debris and other hazards to Indian satellites. The project, estimated to cost 400 crore rupees when in place, will give India its own capability in space situational awareness, or SSA, like other space powers, and this is used to predict threats from debris to Indian satellites. It also goes so far as to serve as an unstated warning against against missile or space attack for the country, according to experts. The space agency says that our SSA will be the first for low Earth orbits, or LEO, which have remote sensing spacecraft. Under NETRA, or Network for Space Object Tracking and Analysis, ISRO plans to put up many observational facilities, connected radars, telescopes, data processing units, and a control center. They can, among others, spot, track, and catalog objects as small as 10 centimeters, up to a range of 3,400 kilometers, and equal to a space orbit of around 2,000 kilometers. Next on Editor's Pick of the Day, let's look at what the top international stories have been all about. First up, it's business. Now, more than a third of UK's bank branches have apparently shut for good in less than 5 years, while hundreds of those that remain have reduced their opening hours, according to a report. Now, the consumer group that is called Which, with a question mark at the end of it, found that there were 3,303 closures to the bank branch network between Jan of 2015 and last month, and banks continue to shut branches at an alarming rate. It said, which also said that these closures were primarily driven by the big four banks, namely Royal Bank of Scotland, Barclays, HSBC and Lloyds Banking Group. Now, RBS alone has closed almost three quarters of 412 of its branches across the United Kingdom. NatWest, which is also part of RBS, closed 638 branches, and this is by far the most number of branches closed overall and almost half of the bank's branch network. Similarly, Ulster Bank has shut 35, that's 44% of its branches that it used to operate in Northern Ireland. Overall, the UK branch network has reduced from 9,803 to 6,549 in just 4.5 years. Of the UK's bank branches that remain open, 298 are operating with reduced opening hours of 4 days a week or fewer, according to Which. Now, Jenny Ross, who's a money editor at Which, said that the closures risk shutting many people out of vital financial services and affects their ability to access their cash. The charity Age UK said that the rate at which banks were closing local branches was really a huge blow for the millions of older people who rely on them, particularly those people who are not online or confident with mobile banking. Now, what a difference the last 2 months has made for Netflix. Now, in early July, Netflix's stock was flirting with new record highs. And now, after an unexpected loss of subscribers and increased competition in the streaming war, shares of Netflix erased all of its 46% gain for the year at its peak and officially entered the negative territory yesterday. Netflix has been haunted by nonstop bad news in the last few months. First, its most popular show, The Office, was stripped from its platform by NBC. And then Netflix was hit by a rare loss in the US subscriber base and a large miss on international subscriber additions in the second quarter, which really sent the stock plunging and suffering its longest losing streak in 5 years. A slew of announcements from media companies launching their own streaming services, Apple, Disney, AT&T, there was a Warner Media's announcement, NBC, came really as a last straw for the struggling stock. Most of Netflix's gains for 2019 came from a big pop in January when the company flexed its pricing power. It raised prices by 13%, then 18%, and then the stock soared. In a more crowded streaming space today, hiking prices might not be so welcomed by investors. Now, the newcomers are already winning in terms of pricing. Apple, for example, launched its original TV service, and this is going to cost $4.99 a month, while Disney is going to offer high-definition streaming as part of its standard $6.99 plan for its new Disney Plus channel. Netflix's basic plan, in comparison in the US, is $8.99 per month. Wall Street analysts haven't really given up on one of their favorite stocks, though. Of the 39 analysts covering Netflix, 28 have a buy rating, 9 recommend holding the stock, while 2 have a sell rating, according to FactSet. In other international news, in a major blow to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Britain's highest court on Tuesday ruled that his decision to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks in the crucial countdown to the country's Brexit deadline was illegal. The unanimous Supreme Court ruling declared the order to suspend Parliament and be, quote, void and of no effect, unquote. Supreme Court President Brenda Hale said that the suspension was, and we quote, unlawful because it had the effect of frustrating or preventing the ability of Parliament to carry out its constitutional functions without reasonable justification, unquote. She also said that the court's decision means Parliament was never legally suspended and is technically still sitting. The case marked a rare confrontation between the Prime Minister, the courts and the Parliament over their rights and responsibilities. It revolved around whether Mr. Johnson acted lawfully when he advised the Queen to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks during a crucial time before October 31st, the Brexit deadline, when Britain is scheduled to leave the European Union. The court rejected the government's assertions that the decision to suspend Parliament till October 14th was routine and not related to Brexit. It also claimed that under Britain's constitution, it is a matter for politicians, not courts, to decide. Now, the government's opponents argue that Mr. Johnson illegally shut down Parliament just weeks before the country is due to leave the 28-nation bloc for the, and we quote, improper purpose, unquote, of dodging lawmakers' scrutiny of his Brexit plans. Then from the world of medicine, the first cannabis-based medicine for childhood epilepsy is expected to be available soon in the United Kingdom and also the rest of Europe after its UK manufacturer, GW Pharmaceuticals, received the green light from European authorities. GW said that the European Medicines Agency, or EMA, and the European Commission had approved Epidiolex for seizures associated with two rare and severe forms of epilepsy, Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, that's LGS, and Dravet syndrome, and this is for patients aged 2 years and older. The approval means that the medicine, which is a plant-derived strawberry-flavored cannabidiol oral solution that is taken twice a day and lacks the high associated with cannabis, can be launched across Europe. Up to 50,000 children and young adults in Europe have one of the two syndromes, including about 10,000 in the United Kingdom itself. Many patients with LGS or Dravet suffer multiple seizures a day and don't really respond to many of the other available treatments. And the two syndromes have high mortality rates and many patients die before they reach their early 20s. Now, when combined with other anti-epileptic therapies, Epidiolex significantly reduces the frequency of seizures in patients with LGS and Dravet syndrome. Now, the most common side effect includes sleepiness, decreased appetite, diarrhea, pyrexia, fatigue, and vomiting. A change in UK law last year meant that medicinal cannabis can be prescribed legally. The change was made after the parents of Affie Dingley and Billy Caldwell, who have treatment-resistant epilepsy, publicly defied the authorities to bring cannabis oil into the UK. Doctors have been reluctant to prescribe cannabis-based medicines in the UK, however, because of the lack of clinical trial evidence of its benefits and safety. Now, this could change after the European approval of Epidiolex. GW has also filed the drug for approval in Switzerland and Israel. It is conducting further clinical trials on the treatment of other forms of epilepsy with this medicine. Moving on to the tech update for you on Editor's Pick of the Day. Microsoft is rolling out technology to help retailers manage their business online in its latest effort to attract customers who are in a constant battle with Amazon. Microsoft on Monday introduced Dynamics 365 Commerce, which will let brands create detailed, personalized product web pages with room for customer ratings and reviews. It integrates with other Microsoft software so businesses can communicate with customers after they make a purchase or view charts on sales performances. Now, retail is a particularly fruitful market for Microsoft as the software company's Azure business takes on Amazon Web Services and cloud infrastructure. Big box stores like Walmart, grocery chains such as Kroger, and pharmacies like Walgreens are increasingly choose to park their cloud servers with Microsoft so as to not pour money into the pocket of their biggest competitor. Dynamics 365 Commerce is an expansion of Microsoft's Dynamics 365 for retail, which focused on supply chain management, staffing, and promotion. Alicia Taylor, a corporate VP at Microsoft, told CNBC in an interview last week that Microsoft started developing the new technology following conversations with customers about a year and a half ago. Dynamics 365 Commerce is now available in private preview. Microsoft has also previously sought to help businesses with digital commerce. In 2000, if you recall, the company launched BeCentral Business Web Services to bring e-commerce to small businesses, along with domain names, email addresses, and email. Facebook has announced the acquisition of CTRL Labs. Do you say that Control Labs? Well, CTRL Labs, which is a New York startup that specializes in allowing humans to control computers using their brains. Now, this startup will join Facebook Reality Labs, a division of the social media company that's working to develop augmented reality smart glasses. Now, the size of the deal was between $500 million and $1 billion, according to sources that were familiar with the matter. A Facebook spokesperson said it was lower than $1 billion. Now, the vision for CTRL Labs technology is that it will use a wristband that allows people to control their devices, according to a senior executive at Facebook. Now, here's how it will work. You have neurons in your spinal cord that send electrical signals to your hand muscles, telling them to move in specific ways, such as click a mouse or press a button. The wristband will decode those signals and translate them into a digital signal that your device can understand. Now, Facebook has been working on brain computing technology since 2016 as part of the company's Building 8 division, which was a Skunkworks lab launched to really boost the company's efforts in developing consumer hardware products. The company provided an update on its brain computing efforts in July, saying that research conducted with the University of California and San Francisco showed promising progress, but was still years away from commercialization. It would appear that most of us are ill over the weekend. Well, this has got to do with offbeat news that comes up next on Editor's Pick of the Day. So a German court has ruled that hangovers are an illness in a case against the maker of an anti-hangover drink. Now, the firm was taken to court in Frankfurt after being accused of making illegal health claims about its anti-hangover shots and drink powders. Now, in its ruling, the court said that illnesses include even small or temporary changes to the body's normal state. Food products, including drinks, cannot then be marketed as being able to prevent or treat illnesses, it said. Now, the court also said that these small or temporary changes to the body's normal state includes tiredness, nausea, headaches, etc., which are commonly associated with hangovers, and which the company, which is not being named in the ruling, claimed that its shots and powders could cure. Now, the ruling comes just days after the annual Oktoberfest beer festival kicked off in Munich. Finally, the market roundup. The benchmark indices today in India ended flat after 2 days of a spectacular rally with investors booking profits. The BSE Sensex ended at 39,097, up just 7 points, with Infosys being the top gainer and State Bank of India the biggest loser. Now, during the session, the index hit an intraday high and low of 39,306 and 38,913 respectively. Now, out of 30 components on Sensex, 15 settled with gains and the rest declined. On the National Stock Exchange, the benchmark Nifty ended at 11,588. That's down 12 points, marginally flat with a negative bias, down 0.01%. In the broader market, the BSE Midcap Index ended 0.5% lower at 14,480, and the Small Cap Index settled with gains of 0.17%. Sectorally, the IT stocks advanced the most, followed by FMCG and pharma counters, and the Nifty IT Index gained over 2% today. And on the flip side, you had PSU Bank stocks that bled the most. Nifty Bank, in fact, ended the day down 1.25%. In specific shares, shares of Reliance Industries rallied 5% to 1,298 rupees in intraday deals on the Bombay Stock Exchange after Morgan Stanley maintained an overweight stance on the stock. The foreign brokerage revised the target price of RIL to 1,469 from 1,349 earlier. The stock eventually settled at 1,278 rupees 55 paise, up 3.22%. Then, of course, shares of the Multi-Commodity Exchange of India, MCX, surged as much as 10% today to trade at a nearly two-year high of 1,030 rupees on the Bombay Stock Exchange, and this was on the back of heavy volumes. At close, the stock price stood at 992 rupees 5 paise a piece, up nearly 6%. Global shares edged up after US Treasury Secretary confirmed that US-China trade talks will resume next month, but lingering concerns about slowing global growth reduced the overall appetite for riskier assets. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside of Japan inched up 0.1%, led by 0.6% gains in mainland Chinese shares. Japan's Nikkei was up 0.2% at close. The pan-European Euro Stoxx 50 futures were up 0.26%. Germany's DAX futures were up 0.24%. And FTSE futures gained 0.3%. US stock futures, too, gained 0.38%. And with that, it's a wrap on Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. You have a great evening.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.